Inside on Business, the news hour is brought to you by Square One DSM, an initiative of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Learn more at squareonedsm.com. And Iowa Softwater, clean, safe softwater for you and your family, iowasoftwater.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. In studio with us is Heather Ryan, one of seven individuals vying to be the representative, the new representative in Congress in 2018. There is a primary scheduled for June of this year, and so there's a lot of folks running around in the 16 counties that comprise the 3rd Congressional District, and Heather Ryan is one of those folks. Heather, welcome back. Good to have you here.
So glad to be here.
You just heard the stock market report.
I did.
I mean, another day, the stock market's just going wacko. I mean, investors are just having a great time. Billions of dollars are being made each and every day, and what do you mean the economy's bad out there in the 3rd District?
Of course billionaires are reinvesting it because they know that they're not going to have to pay any taxes on it, or they've got someone in the White House that is one of them. So it doesn't mean it's fair. It doesn't mean that we're making money as the average Joe on the street. I'm not making a nickel. So sure, the stock market will do well for the rich, and it will do nothing for us.
You know, we report on this each and every day, and we've had it's been a heck of a year. It really is. And the president, of course, is taking full credit for that. We had a story earlier today that Walmart is giving starting wages at $11 an hour for their employees and giving some of their hourly workers and non-hourly workers a $1,000 bonus. And they're all saying that, wow, this is because of the president's tax cut.
If you want to believe that, you know, I've got a boat to sell you. I'm right off the shore of Florida. It's just not realistic. It's not like Walmart's all of a sudden going to be the shining example of what a great business is and how well they treat their staff. It's just not. If that's the game they're playing, it's totally for press.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, it was interesting, our friends at, Wells Fargo made that announcement just last week as well. People were going to get $1,000. And so we figured out that everybody was going to get a buck and a half an hour raise. And we figured out it was going to cost them like $240 million. But they were going to make $17 billion.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, oh gosh, they're finally giving money back to their workers. They should have done it years ago. You know, these workers have been far more productive than ever before in the history of the nation. And we get no raises for years. So really, it's the right thing to do, but it's long overdue, and it's right now just for press.
This is Heather Ryan, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about politics on the Business News Hour. You know, at no time has politics and business so much intersected. We have a politician/business person in the White House, and we have folks that really like that who are populating a whole bunch of offices here under the Golden Dome. And business groups are clamoring here in Iowa for a reduction in the corporate tax rate of 12.5%. What's going on out there in Page County?
Yeah, where we're closing businesses in the 3rd Congressional District, and people are losing their jobs, and there's downsizing. And, of course, if you cut the taxes, then you don't have the infrastructure that you need in a city to get people from point A to point B to work for you. I mean, there's a lot of problems here. And corporate giveaways, this is a state issue, but corporate giveaways from the state are also an enormous issue. And Reynolds is awful for giving away huge money to a company that needed us more than we needed them.
We're seeing that in lots of places all over Iowa. One of the things that you and I have worked on together, or we know each other from, was Moms Against Gun Violence.
Moms Demand Action.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is a big thing for you. Why?
It's a huge thing for
gun
me.
Gun control.
Sensible gun reform. I don't like to use that C word. Because people don't want to be controlled. And, you know, I don't want to control people. I'm a military veteran. I get it. You know, you want your constitutional rights. But there's a difference between having a constitutional right and having a right to own a weapon that's specifically made to murder a lot of people really quickly and have been used over and over and over again to kill innocent civilians, including children. So I really became active with Moms Demand Action after Sandy Hook. And my middle child, Ireland, she was in first grade when it happened. So it really could hit close to home. It just takes one deranged person to go and shoot up anything and kill children. And it's astounding that we did nothing. And I plan to make that right.
How?
Well, there are sensible gun reforms that could be done. I mean, not everybody needs an AR-15. You know, it makes sense to have some background checks on everybody. That makes sense to me. Everybody should have a background check. There should be a waiting period. We should modernize the system that we use right now for the background checks. If you don't have it done in a certain period of time, you just get it. That's not right. And it's intentionally slow. That's all on purpose. That's NRA has written amazing legislation to make it so that we have a hard time even regulating anything in the gun industry. And it makes sense because the NRA is filled up with gun law, people that make money off guns. So the more guns they sell, the better to them.
Heather Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about politics in the 3rd Congressional District here in Iowa. Tell us a little bit about some other policy areas. We talked a little bit about the economy. We talked about food insecurity. We've talked about firearms. There's a couple of other things out there that are probably key to this district that you believe strongly in. What are they?
Well, I've already said that I believe that universal health care, specifically Medicare for all,
how does that work? How does that look to you?
Well, I'm open to new suggestions, but from what I see, from the best way, the best run organization is the Medicare program. It's an amazing program. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't we extend that option out to everybody? Why wouldn't we? It makes sense. It's already out there. It's already running. It's been running for years. Extending that to include everybody makes sense. And we're the only nation that doesn't do that. And it's embarrassing and it's mortifying and people are dying because of it.
How do we pay for something like that?
Actually, it's cheaper than buying private health care. It's actually a lot cheaper than paying for people to go to the emergency room when they don't have health care. It's not that expensive. There are ways to pay for it in your taxes, but yeah, you're paying a slightly higher tax, but you're not paying all that money to private insurance, and you're not paying it on the back end of taxes when you have to pay for everybody to go to the emergency room because they don't have insurance to go to a regular primary care physician.
There was a thought floated a couple of weeks ago about taking a look at a Medicare system, but making it much like Medicare is right now. Medicare will cover X amount of things. These are the things that Medicare wants. If you want more, then you go to the private health insurers.
Absolutely.
And you get a, you know,
Cadillac program. You can get whatever you want. You want to have your teeth fixed because they're gangly, but it's, yeah, fine. So buy the extra health care insurance if you want. But it is a fundamental right that everybody has access to health care, and Medicare for everybody makes just perfect sense.
Now, a Politico was talking to me last weekend and said, you know, I'm not so sure that health care is a right, because if I'm 96 years old and I want a new knee, that ought to be my right to get it. It's my right.
If you've lived 96 years and you don't have knee problems, then first of all, you need to be applauded. But second of all, who goes and says, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go get me a new knee. Come on. That's just a silly argument. Nobody's going out there and scavenging for new knees because they have a right to it.
Yeah. Heather Ryan, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Healthcare, economics. One of the things I know that you've talked about is minimum wage in not only Iowa, obviously, but nationally. Minimum wage is set how long ago?
9 years ago, I think. Yeah. Maybe a little longer now that it's 2018. But $7.25, it's abysmal. It's mortifying. Nobody can live off that. And it's not even a question. Everybody knows nobody can live off of that. But the fact that we haven't raised it is horrible. It's a travesty.
One of the things that Congressman Young has done over his term in office is made friends with lots of people. He travels to all the counties, visits with all the folks. I have talked to numerous individuals, and I've known Representative Young through some other dealings that I've had in the past, and he would recognize who I am. Mm-hmm. He's just a great guy. You know, he tells great jokes, and he slaps folks on the back, and he's just... He's fun. He's a neat fellow. What about that do you take issue with?
I think it's dishonest. And in fact, I think that he's worse than Steve King because I know it's hard to believe Steve King's a monster. But Steve King, you know where he's coming from. You know, straight up, he is a massive jerk. You know it. He will tell you, hey, look, I'm saying these terrible things about people. So you know what you're getting. With David Young, he's voting the exact same way as Steve King. They vote exactly the same. And David Young supports all of the policies of Trump more than any other legislator in Iowa. So he's actually worse because he's pretending to be your friend and slap you on the back and tell you a funny joke and remember your name. But He's voting against everything that makes our lives better.
Let's talk about education for just a moment. We had a news story last half hour that Americans are now at $1.4 trillion in student debt, and this is strangling people all over the nation. Mm-hmm. How do we fix that? I mean, you know, one of the things, you know, and since the recession, you know, people have continued to borrow and add and onto their student debt. How do you fix that?
Well, I'm personally involved in that. I will never be out from underneath my student debt. And I have the GI Bill. So, you know, you would think, well, the GI Bill pays for it. It doesn't. So I have $60,000 in debt. I will never be out from underneath. So I take this very personally. The very first thing we could do is allow students to refinance their debt. I mean, this is a simple problem. The government makes money off of us by charging us a higher interest rate. That's wrong on every level. And it's actually going to hurt the economy in the long run, because those are things I can't buy a brand new car. I'll never be able to buy a house. I mean, things like that are going to hurt the economy in the long run. It's very simple strategies that we could take right now. But I also think that, you know, higher education should be a right, and we should all, if you can get into college, you shouldn't be strapped with a lifetime of debt. It hasn't always been like this. And for whatever reason, since Reagan on, we've just thought, well, if you want to go to college, it's for your benefit only, and it doesn't benefit society, so you take on the burden. And that's just not true. It benefits society to have an educated population.
So you would be in favor of allowing individuals to renegotiate that rate?
Oh, at the very beginning. Yeah, at the very, okay, very least, we should be able to refinance our loans. And then I believe that community college should be free at the minimum, and then move on from there. I think all schools should be free. You know, of course, we're paying higher taxes, but you're getting so much more. You're getting an educated population.
Let's talk a little bit about that, about paying taxes. I have a good friend who ran for Congress in the 3rd District, Desmond Adams, who was very fond of saying, you know, paying taxes is the patriotic thing to do. It's how you create the stewardship of those taxes that is critical to have a discussion about.
Mm-hmm.
You are a military person. You spent time in the military. A vast amount of our GDP goes toward military spending.
Mm-hmm.
Vast amount. As a matter of fact, the president is calling for more at this point.
Right. Because he never served in the military. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. So how do you square that with being a veteran?
Which part? I mean, Desmond's absolutely right. It is patriotic to pay taxes, and we should be able to see from the richest who don't pay taxes that they're not as patriotic as the average bear. But I was in the military, and I also worked civil service directly afterwards. And when you've got your budget and it comes toward the end of the fiscal year, if you haven't spent it all, you don't get it the following year. So we used to spend money on the most ridiculous stuff. I had stacks and stacks of Post-it notes and pens until the end of time, because if we don't spend the money, we don't get it again, and we never get a budget raise. So we are spending. I can tell you right now,
we're spending. Encouraging that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We had to spend thousands of dollars on office supplies every year, or else we didn't get that thousands of dollars every year. So we are wasting so much time, and nobody ever talks about it. I don't know why. Maybe because we only have 2% population that's actually in the service ever. So there's a lot of waste going on, a huge amount of waste. And we spend so much on the military, more than the next 7 countries combined. We really don't need to increase the budget.
One of the things, it was interesting that we talk about military right now, because the commander for the Iowa National Guard today gave his State of the Iowa National Guard address to the legislature and indicated that the majority of individuals who are now signing up to serve in the Iowa National Guard are from families that have already served in the military. And he says, we need to find a way to broaden that base. Would you be in favor at all of some sort of national service or perhaps a draft?
That's a great question. We have to broaden the base. He's absolutely right. I don't know the answer, though. I really don't. If you force people to do military service, or some kind of service, some kind of I guess it's
national service. Right.
You're forcing them to do a voluntary. It takes away from your liberties. And I understand that people don't want to do that. But as long as we have a completely volunteer force, we're always going to have the poorest people because they can't afford college. That was me. People that are from service member families before, that was me. You're never going to have like the richest of the rich go. You'll never have certain demographics represented. So I don't know the answer, but he's absolutely right that we do have to broaden it. And I just don't know how to do that.
Yeah. One of the things that you indicated, one of the interesting things about military service is when you are forced or you are required, let's use that word, it's probably better, your understanding of various individuals, cultures, and faith backgrounds, et cetera, is expanded because you're with
huge,
a whole bunch of...
Huge.
Was that your experience?
Absolutely. You know, until I got into boot camp, I didn't know Caucasian people and African-American people had different hair. I didn't know. And I was so fortunate to have a company commander who was African-American. She said, okay, for all you white ladies, this is how African-American hair is. And for all you African-Americans, this is how white girl hair is. I didn't know that we had different hair. And I didn't know anything about Judaism. And my best friend was Jewish. And so I got to go to services. There's so many wonderful things that I learned just in boot camp. So imagine what I learned when I went to my duty station.
Interesting. What about immigration? That's a really hot topic. Last week, of course, the president said El Salvadorians, some 230,000 of them, got to get out of town. We're wanting to build a trillion-dollar wall along our southern border. What's the immigration stance for Heather Ryan?
First of all, I support the DACA kids. It's astounding that we're still even having this conversation about children, young adults that are contributing so much to our society. But also, this wall is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard a politician say, hey, we should build a wall. I can't think of anything dumber off the top of my head that a politician has proposed and people embraced. It doesn't make fiscal sense. It doesn't make practical sense. It doesn't make environmental sense. There's nothing about the wall that makes sense, except for some racism. That's really, let's be honest, that's where he's coming from. He's being racist. And I believe that there should be a pathway to citizenship for the people that are here right now. There should be, because they're here. This is their home. This is where they contribute to our society. And we are all better for it.
What do you know about Representative Young's stance on immigration?
He votes lockstep with Steve King, and Steve King is a fascist.
Simply put. When we talk about one of the arguments about immigration is that individuals who are here illegally or children of undocumented individuals are taking jobs away from Americans. What's your answer to that?
It's ridiculous. I honestly would never work in some of the places that these folks labor in. They put so much effort. And remember, they're paying taxes. They're just not getting the benefits that we get from said taxes. So it's ridiculous to think that I'm going to go work in a packing plant or I'm going to go pick strawberries, because I'm not. So they are helping our society by doing jobs that are absolutely necessary to our economy.
We've got a minute left. I'm going to let you just go. You know, you ask voters or tell voters why they ought to be supporting Heather Ryan.
Right. Well, you should support Heather Ryan, certainly first in the June primary, the Democratic primary. That's a tough one because there's seven candidates. But I'm the one that's the most vocal about what's ailing in the nation, and I'm the one that's most vocal about how we can help heal Iowa. The other candidates are fantastic, to be honest, but I can beat David Young because I plan to make him cry. But besides that, you can always go to my website at ryanforiowa.com or heatherforiowa.com. They both go to the same place. I do have really the greatest commercials and videos ever in the history of politics. So we always got to think outside the box. And fortunately, that's kind of my forte. I'm a policy wonk. This is all I've ever wanted to do. It's all I do from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed.
And you're still working, right?
I do. I still work. Yes.
Yeah. And traveling much in the third?
I travel all the time. My poor car. I need new tires. So I'm just about to get new tires on my car. Yeah. But it's a great time. People are ready for change. And right now, this is the time.
Heather Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh,
we really appreciate
you.
It. We will have, if you missed any or all of this conversation with Heather, we will have that up on our podcast page so that you can find out, and we'll have links to her website as well. Appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to have to step on out of here because it's nigh on to 6 o'clock. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer, as he is each and every evening. We'll be back tomorrow on the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. What are we doing tomorrow? Well, it's our restaurant of the week, and our friends from CityView come in to tell us all kinds of cool things to do in the metro this weekend and beyond. For all of us that put together the Business News Hour, for Heather Ryan, for Tyler Hackenmiller, our producer, Mary Sayer is the liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group. It's Patrick Wood, who is the brand manager for the radio station. Jimmy Olson is the voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour. Jeff Delvaux is the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. And James Goodlett arranged, produced, and directed the music that you're listening to right now exclusively for the Business News Hour. Year 5 for the Business News Hour. We're grateful that you're along for the ride. Thanks so very much. Till tomorrow, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Have yourself a good Thursday. And good night.